Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of August 16th, 2018. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. And we're also pleased to be joined by author and educator, Ms. Mariah Tinger. How are you doing, Mariah?
I'm well, thanks.
Good, 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 good. So climate news continues unabated. There's always something new. There's ups and downs. This past week, the Secretary of the Interior, I think, made what you might call some outlandish claims. There's certainly things beneath the dignity of the Secretary of the Interior. So, Mariah, tell me, what transpired with our friend Mr. Zinke?
Oh my, I'm gonna have to take a deep breath before this one, especially not just Zinke that said some things beneath the dignity of the Secretary of Interior, but our dear president also said some things that were pretty much insane. But okay, so as we talked about, I think in our last show, the more than 1,000 square miles have burned across California, and there's at least 8 people that have died in what now is considered the most destructive fire season on record for California. And in an insane, completely not based on science claim, Ryan Zinke has said that it is the environmental activist radical groups that are causing the fires to worsen because they are putting limits on logging. Of course, this is contrary to scientific research, and you know, Zinke is pretty much echoing Trump, who sent out this bananas tweet that said the fires are due to bad environmental laws, which aren't allowing massive amounts of readily available water to be properly utilized. It is being diverted to the Pacific Ocean, which I think by being diverted to the Pacific Ocean, he means that the rivers are running into the Pacific Ocean.
I saw that was like diverted into. Does he mean rivers?
And so, luckily, his Trump statement was immediately panned. It was countered by Daniel Berlant, who's the assistant deputy director of Cal Fire, who said we have plenty of water. In fact, he said, let's be clear, it's our changing climate that is leading to more severe and destructive fires. And this, of course, all of the science is, you know, backed up by climate scientists that are saying, really, as Zinke says, well, it's, you know, the environmentalist logging rules on limiting logging that's increasing fire. But the truth is, it's the exact opposite. The fire suppression, there's been a lot of fire suppression in California to protect the timber industry. And that suppression is what has left the forests dense, dry, and prime to burn.
So when you say fire suppression, what do you mean? Well, in 25 words or less, what's that? That's a term of art, right? So fire suppression means what?
So fire cycles are a really natural part of the climate forest system. They've been happening for, you know, forever, and they basically clear out what's called the duff. A lot of the sort of underlying detritus that's on the forest floor, it clears it out, and, you know, the stronger trees will get through a small fire. Mm-hmm. But when you don't have regular forest, the duff flare, the forest floor layer of, like, you know, trees and branches builds up and builds up and builds up.
Right.
And becomes this really big, when it does light on fire, becomes a really big, hot, hard to control fire instead of a small, easy fire.
And that duff has not been cleared. It is because the state policies of the federal government and the state to not let any forest fires burn, right?
Right. And that has been in those laws have been set to protect the timber industry.
Right.
So, and then of course this coupled with the well-established link between worsening wildfires and rising temperatures is the reason that California is burning.
Right.
I mean, this is, you know, unquestionable. The Christina Dahl, a senior climate scientist at the Union of Concerned Scientists, says that specifically for the Western states, we know that wildfire activity in recent decades, at least half of it is attributable to human-caused climate change. So, as always, it's unequivocal science. We know that wildfires and rising temperatures and climate change are all linked together. Mm-hmm. But the sad thing is that Zinke doesn't actually need to promote science for the news to catch on, no pun intended, across the country. you know, it's sort of, if you see doubt, there becomes doubt even when there is no doubt. And yeah. So just by sort of posing this out there, it's going to get through the echo chambers and the hall of mirrors of the internet, and people are going to start saying, well, it's because of the environmentalists, not letting us log.
I happened to be sitting in a Dunkin' Donuts the other day, and there were some older fellows there complaining about how, oh, in California, they won't let them take the salt water out of the ocean and dump it on the fire because of environmentalists. And I almost poured my cappuccino, iced cappuccino frittata on the guy's head, but I restrained myself.
Good restraint.
The irresponsible nature of these statements that then take on a life of their own because they're out there, right? And it's hard to, what did Mark Twain say? A lie gets halfway around the world before the truth puts its pants on. And I mean, the stuff is out there. And what are you going to, I mean, how can you stop it? Ryan, I mean, so do you think Ryan Zinke or what's her name, DeVos, Betsy DeVos, are the, or me, I guess it's the other guy at Commerce as the new Scott Pruitt. Who's the next guy?
Andy Wheeler.
No, but I'm saying who's the next most horrible person that's going to get laid off by the Trump administration? Is it Zinke, DeVos, or Ross?
Well, I feel like Trump's probably thrilled with Zinke right now. He just started a great rumor.
Yes, indeed. Well, I think that the fires out in the West, I mean, DR, you said, mentioned something that the smoke is covering the country. Basically, you're getting the smoke now on the East Coast. And certainly, I heard a report on the radio tonight saying that the whole West Coast is basically under a smoke blanket, right?
Yes, there have been reports that the smoke has reached as far as New York. I think there was a report saying that the smoke has reached up as far as Maine.
Really?
And it's just amazing. There was an interview recently, I think it was on our friend Brad Friedman's show, with Michael Hiltzik of the Los Angeles Times, who talked about the rhetoric from Ryan Zinke, and he points to an even more pernicious aspect of Zinke's claims. I think it was Hiltzik that pointed out that there are rumors that Zinke wants to run for, I believe, governor of Montana the next time the seat opens up, and that this sort of rhetoric plays very well with the sort of ideologues who blame environmentalists for everything that goes wrong in the world,
and that
therefore, if he keeps on using this rhetoric, it's going to boost his gubernatorial chances. So this is the classic example of short-term thinking resulting in devastating consequences in terms of the sort of disinformation he's putting out there. And I think it's very fair to say that with all the disinformation that he's putting out, it's very accurate to say that the Secretary of the Interior is a pain in the posterior.
Ba-dum-bum. Wow. Where'd you get that one? Did that just come to you, or did you have to practice that one in front of a mirror earlier today? Okay, so where do I go with that one? So, Mariah, you were talking before how the fires in the West Coast are provoking the utilities starting to make them squirm a little bit, right? Because there's consequences to all this.
Yeah, so, I mean, and it's not that it's hopeful, but, you know, and we could talk maybe more about this too, but there's been a lot of lawsuits against, you know, people who are suffering damages from climate change. Those lawsuits in some ways are working.
Just to say, there's the one in New York, the Exxon New, right? So the Schneiderman and the New, there's the Juliana case. And the Juliana case, there was the one
against the United States.
There was Oakland that got thrown out, but then there's one in Colorado. There's one in somewhere down in Louisiana, I think. So yeah, across the country, there are, maybe it's Baltimore. There are these lawsuits going on challenging the fact that the oil industry should have known, right? So that's the backdrop. Okay.
That's the backdrop. And so along comes PG&E, which is a utility company in California.
Pacific Gas and Electric, right?
Yeah, Pacific Gas and Electric. Thank you. And so they have a pretty compelling reason to link the fires to climate change. Right now, they face potential financial ruin due to liabilities as high as $17 billion. And a lot of these liabilities are because California law allows property owners to collect compensation from utilities that are linked to fire, even if the utilities was not negligent in the damage that was done to property owners' property.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So it's literally possibly bankrupting or, you know, financially destroying PG&E because of all of these compensation that they are being, you know, held liable for.
Do you know the basis, just to catch on, is the basis for that? I thought I heard something saying that one of the fires was started by a PG&E pole or some sort of breakdown. You're saying it's not that kind of a thing, that the utilities would be responsible if they hadn't, say, cleaned out the duff before the in time or something? I mean,
right. It has nothing to do with their negligence. It's just that it's, you know, sort of
written into the law that way, that they own
exactly.
It, right?
Right. Wow. And so, you know, of course, PG&E is saying that the rule should be related to whether they acted reasonably, if they were actually trying to prevent fires, like trimming trees and brush, which they do. They do all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And if there still is damage that she thinks, the CEO thinks, that governments should be held liable. But, you know, the interesting connection here is the CEO, I can't remember her name, Williams is her last name, but she's loud and clear saying that the fires are linked to climate change, and the fires are the reasons that all of, you know, so many of the damage is happening from the utilities. Mm-hmm. And that shouldn't have anything to do with her. This is climate change that's causing that. And you can see that there could be, you know, a dotted line where companies that things like this that starts tanking companies, they're going to start looking for someone else to turn their blame to. Right. And I'm not saying that PG&E is saying they're going to sue Exxon by any stretch, but I'm saying that you could definitely see that dotted line where it's going to start being these businesses that are going out of business are going to say, this is not our fault. This is, right. You know, this is a circumstance that caused from people being negligent and caring for climate change. And as we've seen, it does have effect. Who knows exactly what.
But
you know,
I just fascinating.
These are tangled webs.
But I mean, the idea that the utility in California would have some legal responsibility, even partial, for billions of dollars of damage, and this just probably this year, right? Next year could be another bad year. They would makes them squirm and want to find a way out, and then they start blaming climate change, which is pretty reasonable. That's something I would agree with him on. Right. That sets up a kind of legal, I don't know what. I mean, it's a race to the bottom, right? If PG&E says it's climate change, then can Exxon say it wasn't? Right? That's it. And they have this battle of the titans between a couple of big corporations.
Yeah, well, but interestingly, so we have a lot of the big oil is starting to back some, basically some agendas for climate, like carbon dividends and carbon taxing plans. Mm-hmm. There was the recent, I don't know too much, DR may know more about this, but there, or you may know more, Ted, about this, but there was the a recent carbon tax plan that had some hidden gems for the oil company, where basically it released them from being able to be sued any damages. So that's kind of part of the reason, which is big, first of all, because they're saying that climate change does exist, right? They're acknowledging that it exists because they're saying, let's tax it. And then it's also big because you can see that they're sort of running a little bit scared from all of these lawsuits, which is what we were talking about a little earlier in the podcast.
Yeah, that was a plan. There were this sort of conservative plan to have a carbon tax, but the poison pill was that EPA could no longer regulate carbon and the oil companies could never be sued or something. I mean, we talked about that a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah, this was the idea that's associated with former Senator Trent Lott, former Secretary of State George Shultz, and the other former Secretary of State James Baker, basically proposing legislation that would have a carbon tax with the revenue being returned to the American public. But the two provisions would be that the EPA would be legally forced to stand down from regulating emissions, and also that the oil industry could not be sued in federal, in I guess in either federal or state court, for the damages caused by what they knew was going to cause damage. But going back to the PG&E matter, I thought about this within this context. It was only about 4 years ago that, if you remember, Henry Paulson, Bush's Treasury Secretary, Tom Steyer and Michael Bloomberg put together that so-called risky business project where they would do an analysis of the economic impact of human-caused climate change. And to think in only 4 years, PG&E is verifying everything that Henry Paulson, Michael Bloomberg, and Tom Steyer predicted just 4 years. Look how fast things have moved.
Like that wildfire. Well, I guess we should, I mean, there's a lot, these fires out in California will probably burn for a few more weeks, so I'm sure we'll be able to see continuing consequence of this. I hope everyone in California, if you're listening, we wish you the best. Please, I don't know. I mean, it's just, how do you get away from the smoke in the air, right? But what we'll do is we'll put up some links to the topics to lead you, dear listener, into reading more about these things, and we'll try and find Mr. Stinky Zinky's tweets so that you too can be outraged. You can find the blog with those links at massclimateaction.org/blog. You can find a link to the show on our Facebook page at /massclimateaction, and you can find a lot of other cool stuff there. For example, you'll be able to find soon enough the audio of the net zero building webinar that transpired on August 15th. That'll be up soon. You can find it at the Mass Climate Action Facebook page. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, all of those shows. Please go to Apple Podcast and rank us so that we can get up in the ratings there. It helps other people find out about the show. So we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration, including Mr. Zinke and our fearless leader, Mr. Trump, not be accepted as normal, and that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon. So thanks for being here, DR.
Thanks.
Mariah, thank you so much for being here with all your insight.
Thank you.
And thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.